Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
How long do you think it takes before Major League Baseball inspects the glove, the belt, the hat of a pitcher coming off the mound that actually finds something? I suppose that there will be a pitcher at some point who's willing to risk it. Except that they're not so much as random as happening in every ballpark. And get this, some pitchers are having to go through inspection by the Sticky Brigade twice in the same game. Did you know that? Kyle Gibson and Frankie Montas, this is Texas and Oakland, playing on Monday. They got checked coming off the mound in the second inning, so top and bottom of the second inning, and then got checked again three innings later. Ooh. Wait, I'm sorry, Rob Manfred. You're all about speeding up pace of play. What does this do? Doesn't the umpire need to be sweeping off home plate? So if you thought, and maybe there were some pitchers who did think, I'm trying not to be naive about this. Maybe there are some pitchers who did think that once they got inspected, that was it. But it's not. You can get inspected twice. The Sticky Patrol will come for you more than once in the same game. Are umpires getting a raise for this? Ooh, is there a quota? If you actually do catch a pitcher in the act, do you get bonus points, a commission? Ooh, there's a commission. Dusty Baker was talking about speed limits. We know there are times when speed limits are enforced more strictly than others because it's the end of the month and some police departments need to, or some state trooper departments, I guess they'd be barracks, need to reach their quota for the month. We all know about quotas. I've been a victim of quotas before. So yes, sometimes 3 miles over the speed limit is in fact enough for a ticket. I got flagged once for going 6 miles over the speed limit. I got a ticket for that. Don't try to tell me that wasn't a quota. Now, I've also gotten away with going 20 miles over the speed limit without getting a ticket, so I do not complain. However, there are times when police departments are instructed to give out more tickets. So is that going to be the case with Major League Baseball? Oh, they could plant evidence. The umpires could plant evidence on the baseballs. Oh, this could get very nefarious. It could get very movie script-like. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So the Sticky Brigade is on patrol. It started on Monday officially. We'll see how that changes Major League Baseball. In addition, we're talking about Ben Simmons. And according to Doc Rivers, there is a plan to work with him this summer. And Simmons is buying in. So if you're investing in Simmons, you're not trading him. And he is still owed $140 million. I don't know if that makes him impossible to trade, but I would say his trade value is probably not as high considering the series he just had and the postseason he just had. In my opinion, it's all fixable. We're not talking about an old dog that can't learn new tricks. No, we're talking about a 24-year-old guy who's got the yips, so to speak. We're talking about a 24-year-old basketball player who can work on fundamentals, who can see a sports psychologist. At 24 years old, I definitely had a confidence problem. I mean, I was just starting out in my career. I second-guessed everything I did. He's just having a bit of a confidence crisis and has got to work on some of the fundamentals. To me, that's, I'm not going to tell you it's easy, but it's fairly standard. It's something that athletes do all the time. Tiger Woods, one of the best golfers we've ever seen. How many times did he go back and work on fundamentals or change something about his swing? The best athletes are always tweaking. And the best athletes recognize their weaknesses far quicker and with greater introspection than the standard public, the standard viewing or rooting public. There probably isn't anything that you could say to Ben Simmons that he hasn't already thought of. At least that's the case with me. But I also know with me, when I have one really bad radio show, it doesn't completely shake me to the point where I become ineffective as a host. This had to be a problem. Maybe has been a problem his entire career. And it's surfacing now on the biggest stages. It's exacerbated by the playoff pressure. So it's something that he needs to address. Maybe it's been a problem his entire career, but it's just not been quite as noticeable, except for in the postseason. And because Philly's changed coaches and been trusting the process and they've changed rosters. Well, now it's Ben Simmons' turn to figure this out. I don't believe he's a lost cause. If you do, I'd like to know why. What part of what you saw cannot be fixed? Because that's just not human nature. If he wants to work on it and they want to invest in him, it can all be fixed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Weird thing happened on Monday evening, sitting in my chair for a couple of minutes. So I had done my biking, I'd had dinner, I even did a little yard work. And all of a sudden, my phone makes this very loud, obnoxious buzzing noise. Actually, it sounded like a goose honking after the buzzing. It was like a, like a vibration and then a rah, rah. It was very odd. It was a tornado warning, an emergency alert on my phone. So I didn't even hear the wind blowing outside. It wasn't raining. I had heard one rumble of thunder. That's it. And I'm looking at my phone thinking, what? Is this a joke or my phone is pinging in on a tower somewhere else? And so then I turned on the TV, nothing on the Weather Channel, not even with their local forecast. Then I check the computer, so weather.com, and I see that there's a couple of alerts for my area, for my county, but it wasn't my part of the county. So it was north of me in my county, but because there was an alert for the entire county, I got it on my phone too. So then we got this thunder and lightning storm, which I don't mind. I have no issue with thunder and lightning. I actually like thunderstorms. However, the fur brigade, so this is now the fur brigade, not the sticky brigade, my pets, even my cat, when the thunder is loud enough, she slinks around. She gets real low to the ground and slithers and slinks around the house. Penny wedged herself. Penny hates thunder. This is a large dog, too. She's 75 pounds. She wedged herself in between the tub and the toilet. So funny that a dog who knows nothing about tornado preparedness or what you're supposed to do in the case of a tornado did, in fact, choose an interior room, the bathroom, to go and hide. So it didn't last long. It was just about 30 minutes. I enjoyed the thunder myself, but she was quaking a little bit. That's not her favorite thing. So when I left, thankfully, it had stopped. Well, it was still raining, but the thunder and lightning had stopped. And I hadn't seen a tornado warning on my phone. I don't know, maybe not ever. When I did live in Tornado Alley, so the time that I spent in Oklahoma, I was a news director for a radio station, and I actually used to follow along behind some of these storms because I would report on the damage and the debris that was left behind. But that was pre-smartphones, not pre-cell phones, but pre-smartphones. So it's not like you were getting alerts on your phones. Now the technology is so precise that they can pinpoint to the exact minute when a storm will be passing over a particular part of a county or a particular town. It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's great because you're saving lives that way, but yeah, pretty amazing. So a tornado warning, but not one that passed, not any real bad winds or storm that passed close to the house. So that was good. Just odd though. In New Jersey, you don't typically see tornado warnings pop up on your phone. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Penny knew. All I have to do is pay attention to my dog's behavior. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There was this landmark ruling for the NCAA, and it's athletes that we'll get to at the bottom of the hour. And so we're talking about the Sticky Brigade. We're talking about Ben Simmons. We got a lot of calls here that I do want to get to. So let's start with Al, who's in Milwaukee. Welcome to the show.
Hey there, Amy.
Hey.
Listen here. This is what I think about the Ben Simmons situation. I agree 100%. As far as you're saying, it can be fixed, but let's take a step back and watch this here. Doc Rivers got brought over to this team with the knowledge of what Simmons' situation was, his abilities, and his inabilities. Doc Rivers is a veteran coach. I'm throwing 70% of this on him for this reason. He had Rondo, who played with, who had a deficiency in shooting. He also had DeAndre Jordan, the center, who couldn't make free throws. Doc Rivers had the privilege and actually the honor of having a veteran guard, George Hill, who played with the Milwaukee Bucks, on his bench. When you get in the seventh game and you are a championship coach who has won the big game, who has played as a point guard, and you know what Ben Simmons' situation is, you remove him and you do what is best for the team. Your guard has gotten you there. You've been the number one team in the East. He's played the outstanding defense. He's made the All-Star, All-Pro team, all of this and that. You remove him, and you put a seasoned veteran of George Hill in there with Seth Curry, and you play the last 5 minutes, and that's all that it takes as you begin to work with him. You cannot put that young man who doesn't shoot, can't shoot, doesn't make few throws, and then put him in that situation in a game seven when you know what the pressure is as being one who has been there and done that. So Doc Rivers' coaching ability, he had what you might call a brain fart and didn't do what Doc knew that he ought to have done because he knew what he had and didn't have in Ben Simmons.
All right. I mean, I appreciate what you're saying. Certainly they had a sample size, but I also know that they had advanced out of the first round and they had this game seven at home. And Ben Simmons, while they do want him to go to the line, they want him to be more aggressive. And Doc has indicated that they actually do want him to be on the free throw line. A game seven at home when they had just responded in game number six. I don't know that you're thinking as a coach is always, oh, well, this guy's a liability, so I'm going to bench him. He, as you pointed out, he is a multi-time All-Star. He's also a strong defender. George Hill is a veteran guy, but does he give you the same versatility? Does he give you the same in the other areas as Ben Simmons, right? So, I mean, it's a catch-22. You know, like if you change and you go with George Hill, maybe the free throw shooting gets better, but you're giving up something in the other areas where Ben Simmons is an accomplished guard. And I know it got worse, and it certainly got exposed. Everything about Philadelphia got exposed in games 4, 5, and 7. I don't know that at that point you can always make a change. Sometimes you got to dance with the ones who brung you.
Well, at that point, Amy, is all I'm saying. At that point of the game, remember, it is game seven. So your experience and as a coach and a veteran and having been there, you're the one that's supposed to now be the leader and do what's best for the team.
Right. Well, and what I'm saying to you, Al, I understand your point, but what I'm saying to you is I'm not sure that would have been best for the team. It's hard to know. You don't know that George Hill would have stepped in there and would have been any better offensively. You don't know that would have happened. And so you know, you're a number one seed. You're hosting game seven at home. You're not a number one seed, if not for Ben Simmons. He had a lot to do with it. It's not just Joel Embiid. I mean, this is a guy that had a ton to do with their success this year. So in a game seven, do you just completely pull the plug? I don't know if that's actually beneficial. I'm not sure. There's no way to go back and rewrite history and say, oh, that would have worked. So I'm kind of torn. I don't know that it's a great thing to do to your athlete or to your team to bench them in that moment. Now, maybe a different coach would have, and maybe it would have turned out differently, but you also don't know that it would have.
The angle that I'm speaking is not just for that reason, but the confidence that the other teammates would have in being able to now pass the ball to a different player, being a George Hill, who's been in playoff experience in that. Because remember, you're just trying to get this one game. This is not time to play on emotions or somebody being insulted.
I got you. It's okay. Not about being insulted. It's about you don't know if the results would have been different. Again, I understand your point, and we've had other callers make that point. I just don't know that it would have accomplished your ultimate goal to pull your all-star point guard. I mean, George Hill is not some great offensive player. There are times when he gets hot, as every player in the NBA can, because it's the NBA. They all get paid to play. And I know it went downhill with Ben and it went from bad to worse. There's really no defense for that. But hindsight is 20/20, right? I mean, sometimes you want to believe in your athletes and believe that they can break through. Plus, you saw what Ben could do all year. I mean, it's a interesting debate. Just telling you, I don't think it's a cut and dried decision for a coach to bench a player that was very much a part of your success to be a number one seed, win as many games as you did, and now get you to a game seven.
Okay.
All right. But I agree that it's certainly something the coach that has to consider, and I'm sure that they did. I have no doubt that they did. Tony is listening in South Carolina. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
What you thought
what
Ben could do.
Tony.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing, Amy?
You got to turn down your radio.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
Good, thank you.
Good. Hey, listen, I want to first of all talk about Ben Simmons and the Sixers, my Sixers. But let me say that me and a couple of my friends, we're cops, and we were listening to you talking about quotas, and we are having a blast laughing at you. I want to say that to you because we don't have quotas, but it was cool to hear you talk about that.
Oh, and what part of South Carolina are you in?
We're in the capital, Columbia.
All right, so I vacation in the Beaufort area, the Low Country. That's one of my favorite spots to go. Maybe you are one of the rare police departments around the country that has never had a quota, but I am promising you that there are other places in the country that do.
I believe you. I believe you. We just don't deal with that, but I believe you. Like I said, I have like four officers here. We're finishing up reports, and they were just laughing at you talking about that.
I love that when I have officers listening. Well, thank you for your service, and tell them I said hello.
Yes. I will. Listen, and everything you talked about, Ben Simmons, and I've been a Sixer fan all my life. He's 24. The kid is 24. Everybody's going to make mistakes. I know when I was 24 growing up in Philly, I had no clue what I wanted to do. I mean, I was in the military serving, but I still did not know. And the sad part is that everybody's saying, you have all these other sports analysts, trade Ben Simmons, trade Ben Simmons, trade him now, all of that. He can be fixed because it's really mental. His abilities are off the charts. You know, and I think what it is that Doc doesn't have a plan. I think he needs to get a real shooting coach. I think the guy's name is Tim Carver or somebody like that, who's a really good guy, real shooting coach. I think he needs to work on that and, you know, maybe see a psychologist to as well to get that out of his head. But the Sixers don't need to give up on him right now. He's 24.
Right, and a three-time All-Star. Yeah, there's a pattern of success there. And so the confidence, to me, it's not that rare to see an athlete go through a confidence crisis. It's not that rare to see a 20-something go through a confidence crisis, as you point out, regardless of what you do for a living.
That's what I'm saying. And everybody's ready to give up on him. This is a team sport. Listen, we lost the series pretty much in 4 and 5. Joel Embiid, the last game, had what? The last two games, 16 turnovers. We missed Danny Green. Seth Curry, for all his scoring, he was a defensive liability. Kevin Herter ate him up. And people don't see that. You know, we just need to get together. They need to revamp, get with Ben during the offseason, work with him hard, and they'll come out fresher and better, and he'll come out a better player and a better individual. But they don't need to get rid of him at all. I think he needs to get from underneath the whole Clutch Sports, because I think that LeBron thing still has a big whatever over him.
A shadow. Cast a shadow.
It's a shadow. It's a shadow.
Interesting.
And he needs to get from underneath that Clutch Sports and LeBron mentality. He needs to badly.
I think that you make some good points. So Ben Simmons has an incredible skill set. It's very unique. I mean, he's not one of the typical point guards in the NBA these days who score first. Can he score? Yes. But with his size, his passing ability, the fact that he can go out there on almost any given night and put up triple-double numbers, he's extremely versatile. He's a great defender. He's been on the all-defensive team. There's so much good about this young man. And I even surprised myself when I went back to look and realized he was only 24. Everything that possibly could go wrong for him did, and it all really culminated in this series. But is a few missed free throws why they coughed up a 26-point lead in game number 5? Hell no. You know, is a few missed free throws why they lost both of those games 4 and 5 with big comebacks, and then game 7 on their own court? No. As you point out, they fumbled the ball away, lots of turnovers, and it wasn't just him that disappeared in the fourth quarter. Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris did not play great in the fourth quarters of their losses either. So I appreciate you pointing that out. It is definitely a team sport, and they all bear responsibility. But as sports fans, we very often, we lock in on one reason, one culprit, and that's just where all the venom goes.
But listen, thank you so much. Like I said, we here, as cops here with the city of Columbia, we listen to you. I listen to you all the time when I have a chance, and you're awesome. So thank you so much.
Well, I'm glad I could make you laugh. Yes. No, I mean, I feel like I've done my civic duty by making the police officers laugh at me.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Yes. No quotas here in the city of Columbia.
Well, I'm moving.
All right, take care. Tony,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes. See, this is why I don't think about the people that are listening to me. I speak to one person. I mean, producer Dave is on the other side of the double pane glass. But when I am doing the radio show, people ask me, what are you thinking about? How do you do it? How do you talk for 4 hours a night, 20 hours a week? Well, I'm just having a conversation with my invisible friend. This is why I don't think about the actual people who are listening, because sometimes there are coaches, sometimes there are athletes, sometimes there are police officers. I can't be thinking about it because then I would get all kinds of, I don't think nervous is not the word, but I would get hung up on the people who are listening and trying to change my conversation so that they weren't laughing at me. But it's better when they are laughing at me. It's fine. Like I told Tony, there are certainly places where I've gotten caught in the quotas. Also, producer Dave nodded when I mentioned quotas the first time, so I know I'm not the only one that thinks that. Maybe, however, it's a myth. Do you think it's a myth that police departments have quotas?
No, I like Tony. He's a good caller. He's a very nice guy. That exists.
Just not in Columbia.
No, definitely not.
Do you think he was telling us the truth? He wouldn't call up and lie on national radio, would he?
No.
Because you go straight to hell if you do that, Tony.
Uh-oh.
I'm just teasing. That was funny, though. I do always invite you to laugh, either with us or at me. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Obviously, he struggled from the free throw line, and that became a factor in this series. There's no doubt about that. I still believe in him, but we have work to do. You know, we're going to have to get in the gym, put a lot of work in, and go forward.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Doc Rivers and the Philadelphia 76ers are now letting the world know they're going to invest in Ben Simmons. I'm not sure if that was the veiled way of telling you they're not trading their all-star point guard, who is still owed roughly $140 million over 4 years. And his trade value wouldn't be at its height. Sarcasm there. But the idea that Ben Simmons' issues can't be fixed, can't be corrected, can't be addressed, that's a little bit, I think that's That's very sports fan of us, right? For those of you who believe that a 24-year-old guy can't fix or work on the issues that were exposed in the postseason, it's doesn't even make any sense. Anything that these guys do can always be practiced. It can always be upgraded. It can always be fixed. It can always be addressed. They can get better. They're the best athletes in the world, those who play professional sports. And have we forgotten they have the best resources that money can buy? The best sports psychologist, the best free throw shooting coach, the best of everything. If you want to put the man through hypnosis to figure out the deep-seated issues and the root of all of this, he could do that too. Money is no object. And so he is going to get all of the attention with all the resources that he could possibly need. Not only because the Sixers have $140 million more invested in him, but because he's a good player. I know that there are deficiencies, but he's still a player that I think is worth investing in. But if you don't agree and you think Ben Simmons is a lost cause, I'd like to know why. Let's talk to JaVale, who's in Virginia. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm not necessarily sure that you're able to fix Ben Simmons' deficiencies. I understand he's only 24. However, we've seen great players, over the years who've never been able to correct their deficiencies. I understand that Shaq was a big man, but Shaq in his free throw situations, he was never able to correct. We see Russell Westbrook, great player, former MVP. He's never been able to correct his jump shot and hit it consistently. We also see Giannis, another great player, former MVP, can't hit a consistent jump shot. So, you know, although they're great players, they're Hall of Fame players, they've never been able to correct those deficiencies in their career. Ben Simmons is a great defender because of his size and his length at the point guard position. But I'm not so sure that you can just fix that. And, I mean, just to have, you know, your center and Embiid be a better three-point shooter, you know, than your point guard, that's a major, major factor. You know, and I just
– Is it? Is it? Because I don't think every point guard in the league needs to be a Steph Curry three-point shooter. Isn't that why you have Seth Curry? Is because he can shoot threes? I've had this debate before about Ben Simmons. I don't think you need to force him into this square box where most other NBA point guards reside. He's a different player. So if three-point shooting is not something that he does well, then I don't think you want him out there shooting threes. But there's a lot of things that he does well, and as you point out, that because of his size and his length, he does better than other point guards in the league. So, I get it. There's a prototype right now in the NBA. Ben Simmons has never fit that. He's atypical. But they don't need him to be like every other point guard in the league. What they need him to do is do what he does well. And as for the free throw shooting over the course of the year when they were a number one seed, he was 60%. And having played basketball, I don't know if you did, free throw shooting is mental. It's all mental. And so the pressure of being on that line in those pressure-packed situations, the playoffs, it got to him. He got nervous. He was afraid to shoot. Even his own coach said that. That's all stuff that can be fixed. I mean, he shot 60% during the year. That wasn't just a fluke.
But I understand, but it's not just three-point shooting. It's you know, a consistent jump shot, you know, mid-range. I mean, he can't do any of that. I mean, you know, it's like when the point guard has the ball in the hand the majority of the time, you know, they're more than likely going to go to the free throw line, you know, more than anyone else on the team other than maybe your two guard, or if you have a three that's your go-to guy, as in Durant. But even 60%, that's horrible from the free throw line. That's horrible, especially for a point guard. So, I mean, even though he was shooting 60%, you know, before the playoffs, I mean, that's – I don't know if that's correctable.
But you don't know. JaVale, that's the point. You don't know. It may very well be. You don't know. So you're just going to give up now?
But, Amy, five shots that he's made outside of the paint in 34 playoff games. 34 playoff games that he's made five shots outside of the paint. I don't know if that's just something that you can...
Right, but you keep saying, JaVale, you keep saying to me, I don't know. So if you don't know, it stands to reason that the Sixers aren't sure either and that they're not willing to give up on him at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I understand your point. I don't feel that it's just as easy as the flick of a light switch to say...
Oh, gosh,
hey,
I didn't say that.
This can be corrected.
No, I didn't say that. I said he has to do the work. He very well, if he has no character, this could be a failure that he doesn't get over. That's up to Ben Simmons. He's got to put in the work. The team has got to give him people around him who can work with him. And like anybody who goes through a mental block or a confidence crisis, anyone who suffers from performance anxiety, I mean, this is not limited to sports. You've got to be able to fight through that. And he, at some point, it's got to be on him. I'm just saying at 24 years old, I don't think that we've gotten to the point where he's a complete and utter lost cause. He's got some bad habits. He's got some deficiencies. And maybe he's never a Steph Curry shooter. But I don't think they're asking Ben Simmons to be that.
No, and I agree. I don't think you can ask him to be that. However, at the point guard position, you have to be more consistent with your jump shot. You have to be more consistent from the free throw line. And I understand you saying that you can work with him. But, I mean, he is 24. It's not like he's a rookie, and this is something that he had issues with at LSU as well, and I'm assuming in high school. And I'm not just sold that, you know, it's going to be able to be corrected.
Well, maybe it isn't going to be corrected, but this is going to be the first time that it's a Doc Rivers-led effort to work on it and to correct it. And maybe this is the point at which the crisis comes to a head and the Sixers have decided we're going to put everything we have into this offseason. We're going to invest everything we possibly can in this young man. We're not willing to give up on him. And if it doesn't work, well, then we'll try something different. But they obviously know what they have in him. Again, he's not a prototypical point guard, but he's not been since he was at LSU, since he was in college. Nobody's under the illusion that he fits the same prototype as a lot of other point guards, but I don't believe that that's what they need him to be, nor do they ask him to be that. He's got a lot of skills that other point guards don't. So we'll see. But I have heard you say it multiple times. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And I think that's probably the case with the Sixers as well.
All right. Got you. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too, JaVale. Thanks for your phone call. 855-212-4227. It may be that they don't end up seeing him make great strides. This is all on Ben Simmons. I mean, he's got to be able to do the work. And because so much of it is mental, he's the only one who can fix that. He can get all the coaching and all the psychology poured into him, but he's the only one who can fight through something like that. I mean, that's all life lessons for the rest of us too. I mean, ultimately we're the only ones who can fix our own mental issues, our own emotional issues. But they certainly are going to pour whatever they can into him to try to help him. And ultimately, it's either an experiment they give up on or he turns the corner and he fights through this and we see a different Ben Simmons in the postseason.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bruce is in D.C.
Good morning, Amy. Great show you have. I'm a police officer, and so for Father's Day, my kids bought me a transistor radio so I can listen to the show. So when I leave for work, they say, don't forget, take Amy with you.
Oh, that's so cute.
So last night, this car comes by, and he was doing excessive speed, so I pull him over. And I said, what's going on? He goes, if I told you so, you wouldn't believe me. Because the radio show I listened to, they wanted to know what you would have when you're on an island for 6 months. And I said, you listen to Amy Lawrence? He goes, yeah. I said, all right, well, slow down. Have a good day.
You didn't give him a ticket because he was listening to the show?
Absolutely. I mean, it'd be like taking money out of your pocket. I couldn't do it.
So we've gotten multiple people out of tickets on this show. Good for you, Bruce. I'm glad we can keep you company.
Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
I do appreciate that we have members of our law enforcement and also firehouses that listen to the show. You are amazing, and thank you for your service. But if I can keep you company and make you laugh, then I feel like I'm also doing some of my civic duty. Not that I've ever tried one of these, hey, do you know who I am? I would never do that. But twice in my life, I've been stopped by police officers who recognize my voice or just knew me from the community. And once they realized it was me, they felt bad. They took pity on me. And I also then sometimes, with unsuspecting officers who don't know who I am, I turn the stories into tales for the radio show, like the one in Boston, which I probably should stop telling on the air because at some point it's going to bite me in the butt. So I will not tell the story again, only that I never paid the ticket. Right. It's After Hours with it was a ridiculous reason for a ticket. We're not talking speeding here. Something, it was completely made up. It was a quota. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. We're asking you whether or not you think the Sixers should invest in Ben Simmons or pull the plug on the experiment. Like it's a science experiment. Just give up on the guy. Manny's in Dallas. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Hi, Amy. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Oh, man. It's just a game. It wasn't even a championship game or a conference championship. I can't believe you guys beat on this kid. He had a bad day at the office, and everybody wants to talk about he needs to see a psychologist. That is, I mean, that is sad. To me, journalism needs to get better than that. The guys just been getting beat up on all day. Everybody keeps coming to the same angle. Then there's been this. When it's written down, it's the kid's fault. In one breath, you say he's the reason why the Sixers were the first seed. In the next breath, you say the guy didn't see a shrink.
Well,
come on, man.
Those two things can both be true. I didn't say he was the only reason. I said he's a major part of why the Sixers were the best team in the East this year. So you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. You don't throw out all the good and get rid of all the good. And I do believe there's more good than bad, Manny. Sorry that you haven't heard me defending him. But I also do think that he's got a confidence issue. Again, I played the game, not at the NBA level, duh. But I played the game, and I know free throws are mental. They're mental. Anybody who you talk to will tell you that free throws are 98% mental. Why do you think that Giannis stands there and goes through that same pre-shot routine every time? It's all about repetition. It's all about doing it the same. But a lot of it's also about mentally that having the entire arena stare at you and you only while you're standing there on the free throw line. And so I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. He absolutely can be an all-star point guard and still need to talk to someone that can help him when he's in those moments not feel the pressure, not necessarily get nervous, and rise to the occasion as opposed to shrink back.
I mean, true there, but one is I never seen a math done on the mental aspect of the game to say what percentage it is. Number next, just the same way you guys had destroyed Kwame. Nobody even mentioned Kwame. They're scared to mention Kwame's name. And Kwame was 17 at the time. At least this kid is much older than that. He's definitely gonna bounce back.
I hope he bounces back.
But this really allows him to know that one thing sports always tell you is who really your true friends. But when things are down, mm-hmm. you'll see those who they beat up on you. Even his coach threw him on the bus, abandoned him. The coach knew, like you said, he knew his deficiency before he got there. And now, how are you going to plan on working on something? Why are you even working on it prior to the season?
Well, they probably did. They probably did. He was an all-star this year. It's not like he had a crappy season.
Okay, so that means you basically just had a bad day at the office. So why do everybody keep being on the day at home?
Not just
all
a bad day. He had a really bad postseason. So games 4, 5, 6, and 7, and games 4 and 5 were major collapses for the Sixers. He did not have one basket in games 4, 5, 6, and 7 in the fourth quarter. Was he alone? No. Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris, they were part of that too. But his free throw shooting was also the worst it's ever been for a qualified player in postseason history.
You're absolutely right, but also, can you just answer the question here? Should the Sixers even have been in the Game 7?
No, they shouldn't have, but they were. I mean, shoulda, woulda, coulda. You're right. They never should have coughed up Game 4, or, well, maybe Game 4 wasn't quite as egregious as Game 5. Game 5 was a disaster. And so, no, they shouldn't have. They should have had that series closed out if they were taking care of their business, but... Yeah, I mean, there they were. Manny, I'm on your side. I don't think that you need to just all of a sudden trade the kid or cut the kid or you know, describe him as a lost cause or a failure. But I do think that there's things he can work on. And I'm sure Ben Simmons, considering the fact that he's not going to go to the Olympics, he's going to stay in Philadelphia and work on it. There's things that he would agree with you know, in that statement, too. So thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Sean, who's in San Diego. Welcome to After Hours. Sean. Tony's in Atlanta. Tony's in a windstorm. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. How's it going, man?
Good. Thank you.
All right. Good. I just want to make a couple comments on Ben real quick. Personally, I think that Ben played okay. I recognize he wound up being a liability down towards the end because he wasn't taking shots or whatnot, but no one else could have guarded Trey the way he did. Trey was kind of discombobulated sometimes because of Ben Simmons' length and whatnot, and he did force a few turnovers, especially in Game 7. But I don't think that the 76ers should just go ahead and, you know, kick him loose. I think they do need to go ahead and invest the time. They do have $140 million sitting on the table.
Yes.
And they have to go ahead and do something. And like you said several times, just even tonight, his trade value is probably garbage. But I want to make this one point.
Okay, you got 20 seconds. You got 20 seconds.
I'll let you go. Caller talked about Shaq, Giannis, Kevin Westbrook and whatnot, how they weren't able to shoot free throws. But the one thing that's different is all these guys are very, very, very aggressive. And Ben Simmons, because of his confidence level, I guess, decided, okay, well, I'm not going to be aggressive. I'm just going to be out here, you know, as a post or something. But that's all I want to say. I appreciate the call.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate you calling from Atlanta. I mean, we saw that exposed. You don't stop from a surefire dunk and pass the ball when you're, I mean, NBA players don't, when you're a foot from the hoop, or you shouldn't be. That's a surefire indication that something is wrong. And so, again, I'll just go back to, I don't think he's a lost cause, but it's clear that the problems were exposed and exacerbated in this postseason.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.